Take your Bibles with me, please, if you would. And let's open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're visiting with us today, we are in the midst of a brief series. We normally work through books of the Bible, verse by verse, from beginning to end. But we recently finished 1 Thessalonians. And I'm kind of deciding where I'm going to go next, either back to the Psalms or to 2 Thessalonians. But in the meantime, we're doing a brief series that I've entitled Pure Milk. And we are talking about what it is that God wants us to want from His Word and how to get it. Last time we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and what I would call the prerequisites for your spiritual growth. This morning we are going to look at the principal thing for spiritual growth, and that is desiring the milk of God's Word. 1 Peter 2, reading verses 1 through 3. And if I didn't mention it, I would encourage you, have an open Bible and follow along. There should be a Bible in front of you or under your seat or somewhere near you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now here the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Peter, is speaking to us about spiritual growth and telling us very specifically what it is that God wants us to want from His Word. Again, I have over the past 25 years as a Christian and as a minister, I have asked people at various times, what do you get from God's Word? And sometimes they say, I don't really get anything from the Word of God. That's very sad. But just as sad as when I've asked people, what is it that we are supposed to get from the Word of God? And the answer from this verse is pure milk. That's the answer. But that raises two questions, which we are going to consider this morning. Question number one is, what exactly is this pure milk that God wants us to want from His Word? In fact, I'll go a step further. What exactly is this pure milk that Jesus Christ commands us to long for from His Word? And the second question is, what exactly does it mean to desire it as newborn babes? Is there anything we're supposed to do, or are we just supposed to have an internal desire? So those are the two questions we're going to deal with today. But before we do, let's review. We looked at verse 1 last time. Verse 1, as I said, could well be titled The Prerequisites for Spiritual Growth, because from verse 1 we learn that before you can desire the pure milk of God's Word that you might grow thereby, there are two things that have to happen. Do you remember what they were? Number 1, you must be born again. You must be born again. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Listen, Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. And unless you're born again, there is no way you will ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. I have heard professing believers, I have heard people who would say they believe in Jesus Christ, say to me personally, you don't need to be born again. That is a lie. That is false doctrine. That is error. You must be born again. And unless you've been born again, you're not going to desire the pure milk of God's Word, and you're not going to grow spiritually. What's the second thing that must happen before you can desire the milk of God's Word and grow? You must be born again, and you must, number 2, lay aside your sin. You must lay aside your sin. Look at verse 1. Therefore, which points back and says, therefore, since you have been born again by the incorruptible Word of God, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. In other words, laying aside like a filthy garment all your sin, desire the pure milk of God's Word like newborn babes. So there are two things that need to take place first. These are the prerequisites to spiritual growth, prerequisites to desiring the milk of God's Word. So by way of application, let me right at the start ask you, have you been born again? And have you laid aside your sin? And if the answer is no, There's no better time to do that than right now. That's one of the amazing truths of the Bible. You can be born again today by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The good news of the Bible is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and to that end, he lived a perfect, righteous life, and then he sacrificed his life once for all on the cross as the payment for our sins. On the third day, according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ rose again, he ascended into heaven, and soon he is coming again. And in order for you to enter into heaven when Jesus comes or when you die, you must be born again. How do you do that? By putting all your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And you can do that right now. You can do that right where you are. And the other question is, have you laid aside your sin? Maybe you have put your trust in Christ, but you have continued in some kind of sin. And so I ask you, have you laid aside your sin? I don't usually do this, but we're going to take a moment right now to pray. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, or if you've not laid aside your sin, if you are living in some kind of sin, if you are guilty of some kind of badness or deceitfulness or hypocrisy or jealousy or gossip or any kind of evil speech, now would be the time for you to confess your sin to God and ask for God to forgive you and to forsake your sin. Let's take a moment, and this is a time for you to pray. I'll just take a moment, and silently you pray, and then I will pray for you, and then we'll continue. Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. You see our hearts. You know our minds. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ, who's never been born again through faith in Christ, I pray that you might be pleased to grant repentance and faith to that person today. And Father, if there's anyone here who is not parted from their sin, if they are continuing in sin, then I pray that you would be merciful and gracious and grant forgiveness and cleanse that person. Father, we cling to your promise that says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I pray for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's assume for a moment that you have been born again and that you have laid aside your sin. Now what? Notice verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 1 could well be titled the prerequisites to spiritual growth. Verse 2 could well be titled the principal thing for spiritual growth. The main thing for you to grow as a Christian is for you to trust and obey this verse, which says, as newborn babes, or like newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But question 1. What is this milk? What is this pure milk? What exactly is it that God wants you to want from his word? Well, he doesn't say, so I guess we're stuck. Right? No. Just seeing if you're awake. He doesn't say, and by the way, the pure milk is this. Instead, what he wants you to want is to understand what is the pure milk. And so there are some things in the verse and in the words and in the context that will help us. I want you to notice, first of all, that he calls it milk. And he calls it milk from the perspective of a newborn baby. So I want you to think for a moment. From the perspective of a newborn baby, what is milk? You know, babies don't give scientific descriptions or chemical makeups of liquids. From the perspective of a newborn baby, what is milk? Milk is what you get from the one who gave you life so that you may continue to live and grow. That's what milk is from the perspective of a baby. It's what you get from the one who gave you life so that you may continue to live and grow. Well, in this context, the one who gave you your new spiritual life is God. And from the perspective of a newborn babe, milk is what you get from God that you may continue to live and to grow. Let me ask you this. What is it that you got from God in order to come to life? He just told us in verse 23 of chapter 1, having been born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. There must be something that you get from the word of God that you can come to life, and there must also be something you get from the word of God that you can continue to live and continue to grow. Second, notice that this is pure milk. Look at verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk. That word literally means not deceitful. In fact, in verse 1, when it says laying aside all malice and all deceit is laying aside all D-O-L-O-N, all dolon, and this is the milk that is a-dolon. There's no deceitfulness. There's no trickery. It's pure. It's unadulterated. Okay, there's nothing bad in it for you. As one commentator says, there's no human deceitful philosophy here. It's 100% pure like orange juice. A lot of orange juice says 100% pure. Well, there's some kind of 100% pure milk that you can get from God in order that you can continue to live and grow. Also worth noting, it literally says, desire this logikon pure milk. I'm giving you the Greek transliteration, logikon. Sounds like logical. Only the interest here, as I mentioned last time, is not what is humanly logical, but what is God logical. This word logikon was a favorite of philosophers. They would stand around and talk and they'd say, well, that's logical. I don't know if they said it with a southern accent, but I do. Well, that's logical. They would stand around and talk about things, and if something sounded logical, they'd say, hey, that's logical. Only God wants you to long for the theological pure milk. And finally, in the Greek, is the article. How many of you remember English grammar? Nobody, right? No hands went up because nobody remembers English grammar. But in English, we have something called the article, the. Now, if Rick had said to us this morning, hey, I have found the phone. He didn't say that. He said, I found a phone. A phone is indefinite. Nobody knows what he's talking about or which phone it is. But if he had said, I have found the phone, then we'd go, oh, the phone that we all know about, the phone that he's been telling us about. Peter says, long for this theological pure milk, which tells you that in the context, he must have already made reference to what it is that we are to want. So, go back to 1:22, where he started talking about all of this. Chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Stop there. Here's an option. And here's a question. Is truth the milk? Let's ask some questions. Is truth something you can get from God's word? Yes. Is truth something by which you can grow spiritually? Everybody shake your head this way, this direction. Up, down, up, down. Yes. Is truth that comes from God's word 100% pure? Absolutely. Could truth, or let's be even more specific, from 1:25, says the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word by which by the gospel was preached to you. Let's go with gospel truth. Could it be that gospel truth is the theological pure milk that God wants you to want from his word? How about this? Listen. Remember the prayer of Jesus? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Based on the prayer of Jesus Christ on the night before he was crucified, John 17:17, the means by which God sanctifies believers is truth. Truth. In addition to that, I want you to consider the following. By the way, the answer to all of these will be the same, and I'll bet you can get the answer to every question. Ready? Here's a quiz. I think you can get the answer to every question. For what cause was Jesus Christ born, and for what cause did Jesus Christ come into the world? It was to testify of the truth. Very good. John 18:37, Jesus said, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Second quiz question. What is it that we are to speak to one another in love in order that we might grow? Truth. Very good. Wow. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speaking the truth in love so that we might grow to become like Jesus Christ." What is it that we are to gird about our waists so as to be able to stand against the devil? Truth. Very good. Wow. Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore after you have girded your waist with the truth." What is it that God wants everyone to come to a full knowledge of once they have been saved? Let's say it all together. Ready? Wow. Very good. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. God desires all men to be saved and then to come to a full knowledge of the truth. That takes time, by the way. Epignosis, full knowledge of the truth. What is it that the church is to be the pillar and support of? Truth. Even if you didn't know it, you could guess, right? Very good. 1 Timothy 3:15. The church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. That is a short list of New Testament references that teach us that what God wants us to want from His Word is truth. Therefore, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word," i.e., desire pure theological truth that comes out of the Bible. You should want to get truth from God's word, gospel truth. But someone might say, and it would be good if you did say this, truth about what? That would be a great question. Let me give you some suggestions. How about desire truth about God? When you come to the Word of God, when you read the Bible, desire to get truth about God. Theologians call that theology proper. What does the Bible teach about God? And you can ask that of any verse, any passage. You read a chapter in the Bible, and this week at camp, we had the kids each morning read a chapter, and we told them, "We want you to find truth about God." That's theology proper. How about desire to find truth about Christ? Theologians call that Christology. And we taught that to the kids this week, and we said to the youth one morning, "We want you to read 1 Peter 2 and find Christology." Do you know that teens can do that? Those teens had all kinds of truths they had written down about Jesus Christ out of the Bible. Or how about desire to find truth about the Holy Spirit? What is that called? Right, pneumatology. From the Greek word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which means spirit. Or how about come to the Word of God and desire to find truth about man? What is that called by theologians? Very good. Anthropology, from the Greek word for man, which is anthropos. Leroy, I know you're on a roll here. I'll bet you can get the next one too. How about when you come to the Bible, try to find truth about salvation, which is called?
Soteriology.
Very good. Soteriology. You can read a chapter, you can read a verse and say, "Lord, are you teaching me something here about salvation?" Or you can learn about sin, which is a little harder one, sin, which is called?
Hamartiology.
Very good, hamartiology, because the Greek word for sin is hamartia. Or you could try to find truth about the church, which is called?
No. Ecclesiology.
Ecclesiology, because the Greek word for the church is ekklesia. Or find truth about the end times, which is called? Eschatology, because eschaton is the word for the end. Very good. Or here's one which I don't know the answer to. You could try to find teaching about the Christian life, which theologians call, I don't know, what is that ology? With the kids, I made up one. I called it followology. The teaching of the Bible about what it means to follow Jesus. You know, theologians actually will call that practical theology, which I don't like, because it makes it sound like all the other ologies are impractical. They're not. So, followology. What is the Lord teaching about what it means to follow Jesus Christ? This is the pure milk. This is what God wants you to want when you come to His Word. You know what? When I first became a Christian, there was a period of time I didn't know that. And I would read the Word of God and I wasn't getting anything out of it because I didn't know what I was looking for. That's pretty sad. If you read the Bible and you have no idea what you're supposed to get out of it, and you think all you're supposed to get was a story, but you weren't supposed to get doctrine or teaching, listen, there is teaching about God and Christ and the Spirit and man and sin and salvation and the church and the end times and practical Christian living on every single page of Holy Scripture. And God is telling you here, in fact, Christ is commanding you here in 1 Peter 2:2, this is what he wants you to want. How many of you are Bible teachers in some setting? Every father should raise his hand. Every grandfather should raise his hand. How many of you are Bible teachers in some setting? You know what God wants you to want from his word? Pure milk. You know what he wants you to pass on to those you teach? Pure milk. Now again, last week I dealt with it. I'll deal with it again. Someone may object, what about meat? Yes, you should get meat too. But here Peter is not making the distinction between milk and meat. In fact, when he says pure milk, he's including meat. But he's using the word picture of newborn babes because he wants you to know how he wants you to want it. So let's get on to question two. Question two. What exactly does he mean when he says, desire it like newborn babes? Well, here, and I asked this of the youth this week, and I know this is not like a Sunday school class, and you're not all sure whether you should participate or not, but a good question would be, what adverbs are those L-Y words, typically, what adverbs would accurately describe the way a newborn baby desires milk? A newborn baby desires milk. And some of them said, immediately. Yep, very good. As soon as you become a Christian, you should start desiring the pure milk of God's word. You should start desiring to know gospel truth. How about regularly? Yeah, that would fit. Babies desire milk regularly. Maybe not continuously, but, you know, 3 times a day. Moms, how many times a night? A couple times a night, maybe? I don't know. But regularly, that would fit. Daily? Do babies desire milk daily? Yeah. In fact, if they don't desire milk for a week, that's something's up, right? Something's wrong. How about consistently? Yeah, on an ongoing basis, a baby would desire milk. How about boldly? Like they're going to cry, and they're going to fuss, and they're going to kick, and they might even scream if they don't get it. Should you desire the milk of God's word boldly? Anybody remember what Jacob said in Genesis 32:26? I will not let you go unless you bless me. That would be a good way for you to desire the milk of God's word. You wake up, you read God's word. Lord, I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Teach me something from your word so that I can grow. I put a little list in alphabetic order because you know I like alphabetic order. You could desire the pure milk of the word actively, boldly, consistently, daily, eagerly, fervently, genuinely, hungrily, intensely, and then I got stuck on J. So the rest of the alphabet can be yours. You could desire it this way justifiably. Ha! Just gave you a J. Why? Because you're a newborn and you've been born again by the Word of God, and so justifiably you should keep coming back to God and saying, God, feed me. I want to grow. I need to grow. I need to be stronger. But even if you continued the alphabet and got a whole bunch of adverbs, it still might leave this question. What exactly are you to do? Are you just supposed to have an internal desire and then not really do anything with that? So let's go back to the question that I asked the children. I said, what do babies actually do? And I would say they came up with two answers mainly. They cry and they try. They cry and they try. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, and I want you to keep your finger here in 1 Peter 2, and I want you to turn back to Proverbs 2. Turn back to Proverbs 2. Why? Because Solomon taught his son exactly the same thing that Peter is teaching the church here. Solomon taught his son that he needs to grow. He needs to mature. And in order to do that, he needs something that comes out of the Word of God. Only Solomon didn't call it milk. He called it treasure. But it's the same thing. Look at Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry. Stop there. Now, he's actually telling his son, you need to do something. You need to go beyond just valuing it and treasuring it and wanting it. You need to cry. But let's think what he means by that. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. What do you think crying and lifting up your voice has to do with here? What's he talking about? Prayer. Very good. It's praying. This is something to do. Right? It's to say, God, please teach me your word. Anybody ever read Psalm 119? Psalm 119 is a very strong believer crying and crying and crying to God, saying, God, teach me your word. Teach me your ways. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Teach me, God. I want to know. I want to understand it. Look at verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. This is try. Try to find wisdom. Try to get knowledge. Try to get understanding. Try to get milk. Try to get treasure out of here as if you're a gold digger and your life depends on you finding the gold. So cry and try. And verse 5. And then, only if you do that, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Why would anybody do this? Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. What does the Lord give? Wisdom. What you need for life. That's milk, pure milk. Wisdom is another word for milk. Okay? What is wisdom? Second line of verse 6, from God's mouth come knowledge plus understanding. College can give you knowledge, but college doesn't give you wisdom. You can pay 50 grand, 100 grand, and go to college, and you get knowledge, but you don't get wisdom. Wisdom is when God gives you true knowledge, along with it, an understanding of how to apply it to life. That's what God wants you to want from his word. Right? And here it says God gives it, and he gives it from his mouth. That means in his words. That means in the words of God, there is to be found wisdom, knowledge, and an understanding of how to apply it to life. That's pure milk. What's the condition? You need to cry and you need to try. Now go back to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And let's think about what we've learned. We've seen that in order for you to desire the pure milk of God's word so that you might grow thereby, you must be born again and you must lay aside your sin. But once you've been born again and once you've laid aside your sin, now there's something for you to do. And honestly, this is for you to do for the rest of your life. God is not saying, hey, this only applies to new believers. Once you've been a new believer for 6 months or 8 months, scrap this verse and don't follow it anymore. No, 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 no. No, this is for you, even if you've been a believer for 80 years, 90 years. Right, Mrs. Potter, I don't know how long you've been a believer, but 101, you're going to be 101 in August. How long have you been a believer? So 13, somebody has to, 101 minus 13. It's a very long time, that's what I came up with. A very long time. This verse is for Mrs. Potter. God wants Mrs. Potter, and I won't ask who's the newest believer here, but some of you maybe have been believers for months or years. This is for all of us. And so the principal thing for spiritual growth is for you to actively, boldly, consistently, daily, eagerly desire the pure milk, i.e. the gospel truth that can be found in God's word in order that you might grow thereby. So what does that look like? I mean, practically speaking, what does it look like? Take a look at verse 3. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, what's he teaching? A, the Lord is gracious. There's truth about God. God is good. And by the way, this is almost an exact quote from Psalm 34. And if you go back, we won't go back there now, but Psalm 34 teaches that God is so good that what he does is he delivers the righteous from all of their troubles. Now, in that psalm, he also says, Now, in this life, the righteous will suffer many afflictions, but sooner or later, and one way or another, the Lord will deliver the righteous from all of their troubles. And what is verse 3 here saying? It's saying that God is that good, and if you're a Christian, you've tasted it. You've had a taste. You know how? Because you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've believed it. You have believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that because you've trusted in Christ, all your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven you forever. By faith, you have tasted God is good.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what is implied here? You ought to taste it some more. This is meant to encourage you. Listen, if you're a Christian, you've had a taste of how good God is. Don't you want to get back in here and just find out how good He is? And you know what? If you would read the Bible, and if on a daily basis you would draw out gospel truth about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and man and sin and salvation and the church and the end times and daily Christian living, don't you think you would see more and more of how good God is? And don't you think you would grow? Let me give you a bit of homework for next week. I want you to think about the ways in which a believer in Jesus Christ can grow. Right? Just fill in this blank. Ready? As a Christian, I can grow in blank. And I want you to think of all the nouns that you can put in that blank that would describe the areas in which you can grow. I'll give you a short list, right? As a Christian, I can grow in love. That means 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I could be more loving than I am today. You know what I hope? I hope that 5 years from now, I'm more loving than I am today. That would be so good. As a Christian, I can grow in joy. Wouldn't it be great if I was more joyful 5 years from now or 10 years from now than I am today? You might say, well, you would explode. That would be good. And it would be good if you would explode with joy. It would be good if you were more joyful. That would be so good for the gospel. You continue the list, all right? And next week, we will talk about the ways in which we as Christians can and ought to grow. You know how we get there? By desiring the pure milk of God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us. We pray that you would help us this week as we come to Christ and as we come to your word. We pray that you would help us to get pure milk from it that we might grow thereby. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.